Next on BYUSN, do we believe the Cougar offense will be better than it was last season, and where do we believe BYU's defense can improve? QB1 Bear Bachmeyer breaks down what it meant to be named BYU's starting quarterback and what his expectations are for himself against Portland State in a sit-down with Spencer. Receiver Chase Roberts joins the program. I talked to him about how he built chemistry with Bear Bachmeyer so quickly and what a good year looks like for him. And with Bear set to make his first start as a true freshman, what are the top five debuts by a true freshman quarterback in BYU history? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, August 26th. Great to have you with us. I am Jerem Jordan. It is not Stanford week quite yet, but the Twitter account for Captain Andrew Luck has given us an update relative to the BYU game. So we must read it, and we will read every update that is given by Captain Andrew Luck. Dearest mother, the unit has returned to base camp. Drilling is underway for our next battle. A group of men who believe themselves to be Cougars. Fascinating. We plan to do exercises on our hands and knees to be as agile. We shall traverse the mountains to reach these large cat men. Andrew. I love the Captain Andrew Luck account. It is the best, as Spencer now joins us. Spence, I know it's not Stanford week, but I love that account. It's so funny.
I hope we have something every day leading up to the game. Let's go.
Will the captain write to his dearest mother every day? We shall see. BYU's not playing Stanford. They're playing Portland State this week. So it means we're how many days away?
Countdown to the Viking.
4 days away.
Four days away from the Vikings, Jerem. Let's go. Hey, listen, Andrew Luck, I feel bad a little bit for Stanford's football team because he was what felt like the center of attention the entire game. Every cut, it was like Taylor Swift in the NFL.
I know. I said yesterday, I was like, that's not good when he's getting too many cutaways.
Like, I felt bad for their team a little bit, but listen.
I'm not going to feel bad on September
6th. No, that's the thing. That's the 1 week we will not feel bad. We will also not feel bad when BYU, I'm going on record, destroys Portland State. I know. I'm going out on a limb there.
Really?
Destroys Portland State.
The BYU guy thinks BYU will win big.
And on that note, we rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Give me 9-3, Spencer. BYU 9-3. I think Keanu Tanuvasa creates a lot of havoc that leads to more.
You need to find number two on the field.
Number two is number one.
Yesterday marked the debut of Coordinator's Corner on BYU TV, featuring all three of BYU football's coordinators, Aaron Roderick, Jay Hill, and Kelly Papinga. So we are going to, in our terms, play some of the best sound from that show and react, beginning with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick discussing his benchmarks, that is the operative word, for success for BYU's offense against Portland State.
Well, like I said, I just want to play clean football. You know, I think if we take care of the ball and we can get lined up and execute without hurting ourselves with penalties and, you know, some of those week one things that you see in a lot of teams, I think if we take care of those things, then at the end of the day, we'll be happy with the result. Whatever the score ends up being, we'll be happy with it. Just play clean ball.
What qualifies as clean ball? More importantly, Jerem, what are your benchmarks for success for the BYU offense, specifically against Portland State?
I'd say clean ball is he doesn't want any giveaways.
Zero.
At all, yes. And then defensively, obviously, on the other side, Jay Hill wants takeaways. And I do think that Aaron does care about what the score is, though. I know he's saying that, but if it's 20-6, like in 2017, that's not good enough. It needs to be, you know, like minimum threshold points got to be 40, right? I would think you want to be in the 50s or 60s.
I might want 40 in the first half.
Right. 2-3 years ago, Oregon put up 80 on this Portland State team. I wouldn't hate it. It'd actually be awesome. Okay, some benchmarks. Stay healthy is number one. Don't need anybody injured. Not a soul. Be efficient. Bear Bachmeyer, QB rating 160+, 65%. Just nice, clean, simple stuff. I want a success rate of 50%. So what is success rate? On first down, you're getting 40% of the yards. Second down, 60% of the available yards. Third down, 100%. You're converting. That's success rate. I want to see 50% plus. I'll talk about that in a minute when we talk about the offense. Be explosive. So runs of 10+, pass plays of 15+. That'd be great. And specifically, that's offensively. That's what I want to see. But if you told me BYU won 42-0 and nobody got hurt, I'd go, that's amazing. I almost don't even care what the means are to that.
Aaron Roderick has spent a lot of time talking about effectiveness, scoring points, specifically in the red zone, and yeah, turnovers. So it starts for me with zero giveaways. I know that it's the first game of the season and teams are more susceptible to be a little bit rusty or a little bit lax because you're just getting used to things. But this is not your typical first game. This is a Portland State team that just lost 42-0 on their home field. Now they have to come to Provo and face a team which is worlds better than Tarleton State, who was the team that took it to them. BYU can't afford to give it away. You can't give it away against Portland State. So zero turnovers. If you have to punt the ball occasionally, fine. I don't care. If you have three or four punts, great. Just don't give them free possessions with turnovers. And I would like to see BYU be 100% effective in the red zone. It's not that hard when you can throw in field goals.
Scoring.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
So there may be an occasion, because Aaron Roderick likes to go for it on fourth down, that BYU is in the red zone and opts to stay on the field. Maybe they get shut down. But as close to 100% red zone efficiency as possible. I want BYU to score every time they are in the red zone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not joking when I say I hope BYU is close to 40 points by halftime. I hope BYU
that'd be great.
Can throw in a bunch of reserves at the end of the third quarter, and this game is completely out of hand, and it's 49-3 or whatever, and you can coast. You can let your starters rest a little bit. Bear Bachmeyer, Trevor Maddich pointed out, maybe you want to play him the whole game to get things worked out. If BYU
there's no way that happens.
Does their
there's
thing?
No way.
You don't have to play Bear the whole game.
No.
You don't need to do
to
that.
Me, I disagree with that idea. I really do.
So
I understand that what he's getting at, but no.
I want BYU to be in that position. Benchmark of success is that you can bench your starters by the time you get to the fourth quarter.
To your red zone number, 86% last year, 50th.
It's pretty good. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
You're right. It's because on fourth down sometimes you're not getting it. Because if Will Ferrand's going to kick it, that's...
He typically makes it. That percentage is higher.
High 80s, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Aaron Roderick also discussed RB1 LJ Martin and his expectations for the junior.
Well, LJ, I mean, he's a standout. He's always been a good player, but you can just see that he's taken his game to another level this year. It's starting with just what great shape he's in. You know, he lost some weight, he trimmed up, and he's still, looks great out there. And I would say he's faster than he's ever been, and he's just playing fast. You can tell the game's really slowed down for him because he's played so much football.
You love to hear it. After hearing this, are you taking the over on 1,000 yards for LJ?
Yes, because this is the message that was delivered all camp. This is not new. It's nice to hear your coordinator say that at the end of camp and going into game number one and use that word fast multiple times. But I was bought in on LJ before A-Rod had to say anything on Coordinator's Corner yesterday. I may have undershot the total yardage. I said 1,038 yards for LJ Martin. Maybe I'm up towards you and he's pushing 1,100 yards. If he can stay healthy, that is the key. He's been banged up. Every season he's played at BYU, can BYU keep him healthy? Has he learned how to protect himself a little bit more? They actually talked about that. Harvey Unga talked about you can be really good at being tackled, like know when to surrender and salvage
never
some
surrender.
Injuries. Hey, when you're going down, like there's a way you can fall to prevent and limit injuries. They've actually worked on those details. And so maybe I'm pushing 1,100 yards after that comment, but it all comes down to can he be healthy? 83 yards a game. Can LJ Martin average 83 yards on the ground a game? Absolutely. Yep. Give him the ball 20 to 22 times, and more often than not, I think he'll be eclipsing the century mark in an individual game. So, I'm over, and I might have undersold him in our season projections show.
I failed to mention him as one of those former Stanford commits. He's another one of those ex-would-be Cardinal.
Another one,
exactly. So, amen to all you said.
A-Rod has detailed how Carson Ryan is a type of tight end that BYU hasn't featured in quite a few seasons. Listen to this.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's even better than I thought. You know, we saw him on film at UCLA a lot, and then last year at Utah, and knew he was a good player. But having him in our program, and you see all the little things he does every day, you gain an appreciation pretty quickly just for how savvy he is. I would say he's the first every down player we've had at tight end here for a while.
What in the world should we expect from Carson Ryan if he is the every down player that Aaron Roderick says he will be?
I'm hoping he's a top three playmaker on the offense. You know, a skill position player outside of Bear. You know, Chase Roberts, LJ Martin, Carson Ryan. That would be probably my 1-2-3 in terms of like top playmakers for BYU. We hope. If Ryan is a 40-catch, 500-yard, 5-touchdown guy, finally BYU's thrown to the tight end in the way that we've waited. Did Aaron just tell us, in other words, the reason that they maybe haven't featured the tight end? He didn't say this, but this is my interpretation. That the reason they have not featured the tight end in the way that maybe they did previously was because they didn't have an every down guy? Is it too predictable because BYU would flex a guy out or they would have a guy in line or a wing off the tight end and so he was probably just a blocker and Carson can do both? That was pretty interesting to me. Aaron sounds pretty excited about what Carson can do as an every down tight end because now he can disguise him. And you don't know if it's pass or run because the same guy's in there. That's interesting to me.
That is the key. If Carson Ryan indeed, and we'll find out, is an every down guy, then yes, we can anticipate bigger numbers and more production from the tight end spot. I was a little hesitant when we first started to hear things about Carson Ryan and, oh, this is going to be a breakout season because we heard a lot of the same things about Keanu Hill last year.
Yes. And we said them too. We thought he was going to have a monster year.
And we bought into that hard.
He did not. Yeah.
We bought into that hard. Yeah. But Keanu was not an every down tight end. He clearly split that position with multiple players, Matavitase most notably, and they just didn't have a ton of production. 4 total touchdowns for the tight ends, only 31 total catches.
22 yards a game?
A game.
I'm hoping Carson Ryan has 22 yards on the first drive against Portland State.
He might average 22 yards a catch in some games.
Right? Yes. Little catch it at 10 to 15, burst for 7 to 12 after that.
Like that is a real possibility.
Yeah.
What should we expect from Carson Ryan? Well, we gave you our numbers last week. We both think he's going to have probably over 400 yards receiving, if not more.
Yeah, I hope he's a top 4 or 5 pass catcher. And then in terms of playmaking, like catching in the end zone, good blocking, so on and so forth, that he's a top 4 guy on the team.
If he has over 400 yards, that would be more than 100 than the entire tight ends room combined last season.
Yeah, and it's a very new group. There's a lot of turnover from last year in that room. Keon Needs, kind of your number two. 2 transfers to come in, they're the guys. Waiting for Ethan Erickson to get healthy.
He can be a 3-4 catch a game guy if he's an every down guy.
That's not asking a lot, but he does have 1 catch a game in his career, 29-29. So I think this is going to be the opportunity he's needed, we hope. So do you believe, with everything said, Bear Bachmeier is the true freshman quarterback, do you believe BYU's offense will be better than last year?
That is the X factor that you bring up because BYU has a true freshman quarterback. Can they actually be better than last year if you replace Jake Retzlaff? What we just went through, explaining why we believe LJ Martin's going to be better, the run game's going to be better, the tight end production's going to be better, the receivers are a year older, all of the weapons are back in place. But can Bear distribute the ball to those weapons effectively enough and run the offense and get people in position and line his team up accordingly well enough that we look at the offense at the end of the year and say, it was actually better. Man, that's a loaded question.
And in what way are we talking about? To me, this is very individual.
Is it points? Is it
EPA?
Yes.
Is it efficient? Like, in what efficiency metric are you looking? Because just straight up points per game, that doesn't get count for drives.
So
that's not enough.
For me, it's, how effective are you with the ball? Like, are there fewer giveaways? Are there more touchdowns?
That's how you're looking at it.
That's the easiest way I can look at it in terms of, can BYU's offense be better than they were last year? Because they were very opportunistic, thanks to the BYU defense.
41 offensive touchdowns last year. 21 pass, 20 rush.
They averaged over 30 points a game. Like BYU scored. It was good. I am hesitant to say that BYU is going to be better than 31.2 points per game. Like that is, but the defense played into that. Short fields played into that. Jeremy,
because those points per game include the 7 non-offensive touchdowns, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. They can certainly be better third down percentage. I'm inclined to think that BYU can maintain. I'm not ready to say that, like, oh, BYU, their offense will be better than last year.
Yep.
But I do think they are good enough to maintain. You lose your incumbent starter at quarterback. You have to be patient with a true freshman, even if he does have the ramp up. And the numbers might be bloated in the first four or five games. And we're all thinking, oh, we're on pace to do something magical this year. But then you still have to face Utah, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and TCU in that order in the back half, and there will be a regression to whatever the average is.
Good defense.
So maintain is the word I'm going to go with. I do think BYU will be better in not giving it away as much.
Yeah.
I think Bear is going to be very conservative just by nature of who he is and having talked with him. I worry about the explosive plays available for BYU, especially in the back half of the season. So let's say 30 points a game and BYU has 2 to 3 fewer giveaways than they did last year. That's kind of where I'm zeroing in. Do you think that the offense overall will be better?
No. I do think they'll be better in different areas. I think it will manifest itself in different ways, but completion percentage has got to be better. It was 57%. That's 107. Rush success rate was actually 37th. To me, that's solid. Like, if you can keep that going, that was good. That's better than yards per carry because it's, what are you doing in that down and distance with the available yards? That's more important. EPA offense. That EPA is a metric that people are using to quantify effectiveness. 59th. So you kind of...
middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. You can do... let's get top 40, 50. Success rate overall, 52nd. Turnovers lost, 21. That was too many,
yeah, no,
to your
eight
point.
To 18.
14 picks, 12 from Jake. I would love single-digit picks. I think with true freshmen, though, it's fair to expect it would be 10 to 14. It just, there will be decisions, there will be things that will happen. So I think in different ways the BYU offense will improve. I can't say holistically, though, they will be better than last year. That's an aggressive take, given you had a fourth-year guy in college, and now you're asking a true freshman to sort of lead the way and be better than that.
It's a big ask.
To me, that's a big ask. And if BYU is better than that, hey, now we're talking about 9 or 10 wins. If they are better on offense, they have a chance to win 9 or 10.
If BYU can have 3 or 4 fewer giveaways than last year,
because
fantastic.
Do we believe they will have 3 or 4 fewer takeaways? Yes.
Probably.
Yes,
probably.
Is my answer to that.
Yeah, they had 29 takeaways last year.
It's a lot.
I'm
awesome.
Zeroing in on maybe 25 or 26, and that's still a good number.
BYU defense right now is like, we will get 30. Yes!
I think they won't have as many opportunities because of fewer takeaways. Not because BYU's defense is going to be great, but there were just some wild things that happened last year. I mean, the SMU game, Kansas State game, I don't know that that's going to happen again. Those were wild. Maybe anomalies that helped bloat that number. Colorado and the game in the Alamo also helped BYU with that number.
Remember the Alamo.
Oh, we'll never forget
it. We'll never forget it. In fact, we'll remember it.
But maintain. If BYU can maintain, Jerem, now we are... don't you think we're talking about potentially 10 wins again?
We're talking about 8, 9, 10.
They can maintain.
8, 9, 10. 10 would be wild, given the stat we've been yelling from this Rammy Umptum.
30 points a game. BYU can average 30 points a game and like hold that number through 12 regular season games. Then they legitimately could win 9, maybe 10 if they have a few fortunate bounces. So let's go, man. Our question of the day. Do you believe BYU's offense will be better than last year?
Woo! That'd be great.
Why or why not? At TrueBlue1984.
Who do they root for?
Right? TrueBlueBYU1984, I should add, on X. I think it'll be much more consistent with LJ at running back, and I think Bear will take care of the ball better than Jake did. We talked about that. We also talked about we think LJ will have an uptick in production.
Yes. I think they'll lean on LJ just a touch more. And Bear will give you more in the run game than Jake gave you. But will Bear be as explosive in the pass game as Jake was? That's the question.
Yeah. Where are the explosive plays going to typically come from?
Yep.
Is it run or pass? Like, we'd love to have a mix of both. We'd love to have a mix of both. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
Let's get Chase Roberts the ball. BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill had high praise for linebacker Jack Kelly, not to be confused with Christian Bale's character in Newsies, and mentioned his ability to rush the passer off the edge.
Jack's had a season where he had over 10 sacks, and if we let him come off the edge more, I think he can replicate that.
So should Jay Hill let Jack Kelly play on the edge? Many of you weighed in. I tweeted this out, and they were like, then let him!
it's not as simple as just letting him play on the edge all of the time. Right. He's way too good in several facets of the game on defense and too versatile. Like, Jack Kelly is going to be used in a lot of ways, not just to rush a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they singled him out to be a primary pass rusher, then yes, he could have 10 quarterback sacks. But Jack's going to need to get involved in coverage, and he's going to have to do a lot of zone coverage at that, talking with his linebackers coach. Like, he's so fast that they can use him to cover guys. And when you're covering guys, you're not rushing the quarterback.
You're an outside linebacker.
It's not as simple as just, yeah, just let him rush all the time. We're going to blitz all night. Exactly. No, it's not that way. It would be a shallow thought to think that his only skill and his best, like, even his best skill is rushing off the edge. I don't know that that's it.
I do think it is his best skill.
You think his best skill?
Yeah, I do. He's BYU's Ethan Hunt. He is a spy. He will watch the QB. He will flow with them, and he kind of stays back in coverage if someone comes to him. He is really good at that. He's good in coverage. He's good at blitzing. He has to be used in a versatile way, because once he steps up to the edge, then it might be a surprise that he could just spy. You have to use him in that way. It can't just be simply, yes, we're just going to rush him off the edge. But I do think he gets close to 10 this year.
Yeah.
I think he is a havoc wrecker in the backfield for all kinds of defenses.
You have to be aware of him. You can also bluff him, you know, move him up to the front,
sure,
make him think disguises.
Then you send Isaiah.
See, and I'm not saying Jack's not an elite rusher. That is a fantastic part of his game. For me, his general speed is the best part of his game. Like, speed. Like, what does Jack Kelly do best? I feel like his speed and his closing speed to track guys down laterally, whether you're going at the quarterback or tracking a running back or following a receiver, that to me is just, it's you can't teach that. He's just a freak athlete, and BYU is lucky to have him.
He's the greatest BMX football player BYU's ever had.
And told me
hands
that he's
down.
You know, things get feisty in cornhole too. Apparently, that's a thing.
Oh.
Any card game, okay. Cornhole,
nice.
Bike racing.
Nice.
Jack is he's no nonsense.
It's a man who was born to have a mustache.
He's no nonsense.
Just come on, let's go. If you missed yesterday's season premiere of Coordinator's Corner, we just played you a bunch of sound bites. It's a good show. You can watch it. Break down some Jay Hill, Aaron Roderick, Kelly Papinga on demand on the BYU TV app.
After the break, I go one-on-one with BYU's new QB1, Bear Bachmeier, about learning the playbook, why he feels so confident with it, finding out he was named the starter, and expectations for Game 1. Loaded combo on BYUSN.
Is named the starting quarterback as a true freshman. He'll be the first true freshman starting quarterback to open a season in BYU history.
And he's a stud. He's been making a lot of plays. There's a reason why we named him the starting quarterback this year. So he's got that fire. He's got that energy.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to speak with BYU's new QB1. Bear Bachmeier discussed winning the job, what those emotions were like, the responsibility of being BYU's first ever true freshman quarterback to start game number one, and why he feels like he knows the playbook so well. Here's Bear Bachmeier on BYUSN. Bear, when I say that you are going to make history as the first true freshman starting quarterback at BYU to open a season, how do you feel about that opportunity and responsibility?
Yeah, it feels great. Obviously, it's an incredible honor to obviously represent such a profound university, and having the opportunity to play football and especially be the quarterback of the team. I mean, it feels great, and again, it's just an incredible honor.
What have you learned through the process of the quarterback battle that helped you develop and improve as a player?
Yeah, I mean to start off, confidence and consistency. Obviously, you're competing. I was competing with you know, great guys in the room, and just how consistent can I be throughout the whole camp? And so competing with those guys elevated my game, and, you know, kind of vice versa. And so, you know, when all of us are going here, you know, nothing can stop us.
Aaron Roderick told me about 2 weeks into camp that he just needed to see you have some more time with the rest of the first team offense before things really started to solidify. How do you feel like you showed out in those additional opportunities with the first team?
I mean, I think I showed out pretty well. I mean, you know, I think it makes it easier when, you know, you got, you know, the Chase Roberts, the JoJo's. I mean, you kind of just put it in their vicinity and they're going to go make a play. So, I mean, and then it's the support around me. I mean, you got, you know, Coach A-Rod, one of the great offensive minds, and then, you know, LJ Martin in the backfield, and just the whole support cast. It makes your job a lot easier when you got guys around you that can go.
It's, and this goes without saying, a challenge for any new quarterback to come in and dive into a playbook that is in some ways as intricate as Aaron Roderick has it. Why did you feel like you were ready for that challenge when you got here in April, May, knowing that you had a lot of information to process through?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the way that I was raised. My parents and then obviously my older brothers kind of paving the way, and just the instillment of hard work and dedication. And then when I got here, the support was second to none. I was meeting with Coach Mitchell every day, and just, you know, being a sponge, soaking up kind of the whole playbook. And yeah, obviously there's a lot of intricacies involved in a college playbook, especially Coach A-Rod's playbook and his philosophy. But again, just their support, and you know how much I learned from them in the time that was put into it. I think that you know, helped out a lot.
You mentioned your family and how you were raised. It's clearly a football family with your brother Tiger here. And Hank was a winner here with Boise State in 2021, took down an undefeated BYU team. What are those conversations like with Hank as you prepare to be a quarterback at BYU for a school that he competed against?
Yeah, it's you know, it's brotherly love. You know, we always compete against one another. But I mean, I'm so fortunate to have somebody of Hank's stature, especially being my older brother. I mean, he's taught me so much, and I continuously talk to him, and he continuously just teaches me everything that he's learned. I mean, he's been in college football for 6 years and, you know, still trying to get to the next level. So, yeah, being a sponge with him, and it's funny because we debate about, you know, him coming to, yeah, into Provo and having that game that he had. And so just trying to learn as much as I can from him. Yeah, it's a special relationship, and I wouldn't change it.
What's the best bit of advice he has given you as you prepare to make your first start as a true freshman?
Yeah, his first game was against Florida State, you know, in Tallahassee with, you know, everybody, you know, going crazy. And you know, he just, and it's a cliche, but he's just talking about, you know, stay focused and you have a pre-snap process. You know, and that kind of goes into the pregame and you know, being schematically sound. And again, Coach A-Rod, Coach Mitchell, done a great job with that. You know, but just staying focused and taking what the defense gives you. You know, and that doesn't mean check downs. No, if they're, I mean, I don't want to give away too much secrets, but you know, if it's low quarters and you can take a shot, I mean, the defense is giving you a big shot, I'm going to take it. And so he's just saying, you know, be consistent within your process. You know, don't make mistakes is kind of the cliche, but when you don't really think about the result, but you think about your process and your decision, was a good decision? And if it's a good decision, you live with it.
Clearly, you're bought into the surgical aspect of playing quarterback just based on your commentary there, and the intricacies is a word that's been mentioned a couple of times. Generally speaking, how do you feel like you are in your overall understanding of BYU's playbook right now?
Yeah, I don't like to boast too much, but again, with the support of with Coach Mitchell and Coach A-Rod and all the other quarterbacks, I think I have a great grasp of the playbook. You know, you mix in pure progression reads, and then you look at like split coverage reads and you know, pick a side I think I have a good grasp of the whole playbook.
You also trained in part with John Beck, a former BYU quarterback. What has he told you about the BYU process and playing quarterback here and the things you've learned from him that have also helped your progression?
Yeah, every time I train with him, I like training with Coach Beck because, you know, he's very detail-oriented within, you know, biomechanics. And, you know, we always talk about, I'm going to nerd out a little bit, like our kinematic sequence. But at the end of the day, he always talks about, you know, you got to play ball. And so his process is when you're out there, or what he's instilled in me is like when you're out there, you know, you're a freshman. I mean, what do you have to lose? You know, go play ball. And so I called him the other day about watching film and his process And so, I mean, from that mental side, he's also in that preparatory side of you know, preparing for a game. I mean, he's helped me immensely.
Bear, as you get ready for your first game, on the emotional spectrum, how would you explain what you are feeling? What words would you describe as to what you are feeling?
I mean, I'm excited, you know. I mean, you get to play in front of 60,000 people, I'm stoked. I'm excited. I'm not trying to get enamored by anything. You know, it's tough, but, you know, again, trying to stay focused on the job, and that's winning.
At some point, have you envisioned running out in front of 60,000-plus at LaVell Edwards Stadium, and what does that look like in your mind?
I've envisioned it, yeah, just running out, and you just see a bunch of the color blue all around you, and again, yeah, 60,000-plus just around you, and, you know, you get goosebumps kind of thinking about it, yeah.
The subject that will probably be brought up the most, I'm guessing, in your pregame interviews this season, along with freshman talk, is your number selection of 47. You know. But for those that aren't aware of the backstory to that, why have you opted to wear number 47?
Yeah, it's definitely a unique number. My dad picked it for me. I started playing football when I was five. I played running back and middle linebacker. When I made the transition to quarterback, I continued to play middle linebacker up until eighth grade. And I just like the number. It's very unique to me. And you know, when I'm playing quarterback and, you know, you cross the line of scrimmage, you know, you just got that fullback mentality. And, you know, you go on to be cautious, but, you know, you kind of want to run somebody over too. So I guess that's the mindset and that's the uniqueness to it.
How is your offensive coordinator handling that dynamic? Because you like the physical aspect, but he also wants you to have longevity and be protected. So how does that balance work?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a fine line that you got to take, and there's a balance between, you know, how many carries you're going to get in the game. And we've talked about that. So, I mean, obviously just being smart with your decision-making when you're running the ball.
Out of curiosity, what's better, long touchdown pass or running over somebody at the goal line?
Probably running somebody over at the goal line. I mean, that's a pretty cool deal. Yeah.
Your brother Tiger is here and in the receivers room. How is your relationship with him evolving since you've been at BYU? Not so much as brothers, but on the field and what you're learning and how you're growing together in the BYU playbook.
Yeah, we quiz each other. I mean, almost every day, and we talk about. You know, you try not to talk about football a lot, but, you know, it's hard to when you're obviously playing football. But, I mean, our relationship is, I mean, second to none. It's very special. I mean, we did everything growing up together and you know, now getting to live together in college. I mean, it's a special relationship, and, man, I wouldn't change it for nothing.
When we spoke a few months back, right after you'd signed to play at BYU, you and Tiger were with us on the show, and you talked about how excited you were to play in Aaron Roderick's offense, but you also mentioned the culture fit. If you could expound on that, what is it about the BYU culture that made you feel like this was a good place for you and Tiger?
Yeah, we're Catholic, and we grew up going to church every day, and we still go to church, actually, in Norham. But I think just the faith-oriented environment, I mean, I use the word elevate, but, I mean, it elevates our spiritual game, I mean, exponentially. Before every meeting, we say a prayer. I mean, before every class, we say a prayer. And so just being in this environment has just helped immensely in growing my spiritual aspect with Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I mean, that played a big factor in coming here.
It is an interesting balance between faith and football and family, but BYU's gone all in on that. So I know it's only been a few months, but how has that experience been for you, seeing your head coach Kalani Sitake push those three pillars so much?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. Again, I mean, we talked about the spiritual aspect, but then when Coach Kalani's talking about family, and it just, like, he brings tears to your eyes, because you take for granted, you know, what your dad, what your mom did for you. And so, I mean, after a lot of meetings, when he's talking about, you know, parents and you know, how much they gave to you, you know, I call my mom, and, you know, I just say I love you and you know, thank you for everything, and, you know, likewise with my dad. So I mean, yeah, being here has been the best experience I've ever had, and you know, learning so much from Coach Kalani, I mean, it's awesome. It's great.
Bear, we appreciate the time, man. Great to talk with you. Best of luck to you against Portland State. We'll be doing it again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
QB1 with Spence. That was fantastic. We learned a lot. After further review, returns tonight. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, David Nixon preview the season opener against Portland State and much more tonight, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Still on the way. If you missed it, which BYU players were named captains? Plus, more game week sound from Kalani Sitake and Bear Bachmeyer in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
It's game week. BYU taking on Portland State coming up Saturday night. Here's the head ball coach Kalani Sitake on the matchup.
We imagine that they're going to come in here ready to play. They have nothing to lose. They've got to give us the best shot. We just got to make sure that we return the favor. So the focus will be us playing at our best. I feel really good about the program. I feel good about all three phases right now and the coaching. We just got to get some work done today and go throughout the week of prep and see what happens on Saturday.
Begins 6 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio Saturday afternoon.
Bear Bachmeyer. You just heard from him in my one-on-one conversation. He also spoke with the general media for the first time since being named the starter for BYU and shared what offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick has told him about expectations for the position of QB1 and the entirety of the BYU offense.
Yeah, I mean, the expectation is to win a championship, you know. I think the individual expectation is, you know, we want to complete the ball. We want to put the ball in our playmakers' hands, and you know, we want to go score touchdowns. But the end goal is to win a championship.
Aim high, and they will. If you missed the interview with Bear Bachmeyer that we just aired last segment, tune in to BYU Sports Nation Game Day this Saturday, 6 Eastern, or check it out in its entirety on our YouTube channel.
BYU football announces its captains and co-captains for the season. They are the following. The captains are Chase Roberts, Jack Kelly, Tanner Wall, Keanu Tanabasi, LJ Martin. 12 co-captains were named as well. They are Bear Bachmeyer, Andrew Gentry, Waylon Lapu'ahu, Bruce Mitchell, Carson Ryan, Talon Alfrey, Maury Bamba, Raider DeMuni, Isaiah Glasker, Logan Lutui, John Taumoy Payau, and Will Farron.
Today marks NFL roster cutdown day. All 32 teams in the league have to cut their rosters to 53 by 4 p.m. Eastern. Teams, that's 37 players from 90 to 53. As of now, Caleb Hayes has been cut by the Chicago Bears. Darius Lassiter has been cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Best of luck to all the former BYU players trying to make the roster or maybe stick around for a practice squad.
Can Darius just come back on the team? Could we just add him late? Would that be all right?
A wide receiver room already talented.
I know, right?
That much more talent.
I just miss him. He's fun.
He's the best. After the break, Jerem has his one-on-one conversation with wide receiver Chase Roberts about building chemistry with the new quarterback Bear Bachmeyer and his own expectations for his senior season. Stay with us. See a lot of Chase Roberts in the end zone this season. BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. Pretty simple if you're a new quarterback at BYU. Just find number 2 on the field. Throw him the ball.
Yes, Chase Roberts is expected to be one of the best playmakers on this team this year, Spencer. Not just on this team, too, in the Big 12 and in the country. I spoke with Chase yesterday about what a good season looks like for him. Expectations versus Portland State. Having his brother in the receiver room and getting to know Bear Bachmeyer. Chase, do you get to enjoy week 0? Did you watch some college football just casually?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we were all just chilling on the couch, watching a bunch of football, getting excited, wishing we were playing, of course. But it was fun to watch some of the teams that we're going to play. And, when you play football, you get into like the little details too. So sometimes it's harder to watch because you want to rewind and see what coverage they were in and what kind of, you know, pressures they brought and stuff. But it's still fun.
Where's the all-22 look? Yeah, you guys are limited. Trust me, working in TV, I go, oh, that graphic was terrible. Oh, that nuance. I can empathize. What'd you take away from week 0? Because you had your first two opponents playing and you got to watch them.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely watched. We watched Kansas State too, the Iowa State game. That was fun, just showing like, hey, college football started. There's going to be a lot of turnovers, a lot of different mistakes made, and just getting excited for, you know, the back and forth. And then watching the two opponents that we're playing was exciting. Being able to see the personnel, who's going to start, we're going to go against, getting to know them a little better. And yeah, just being able to visualize, I guess, making plays versus their defense, and ultimately coming out with the win. So it was good to watch them.
Against Portland State, what's the approach this week against a team that you're expected to be handling?
Yeah, never overlook somebody, right? When they have nothing to lose and when they're coming to a fun stadium, they're just going to play loose and play their game. And we got to be on our game too, in order to accomplish what we want to. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to get on a roll and to be able to get confidence and get going for the season and making a lot of plays. We're just excited to host them and hopefully take it to them.
Year five for you. What's different about this?
Yeah, I think just the confidence on the field and, you know, being able to slow everything down. And it just grows year by year when you play more games. And I think the team that we have this year is just the best that we've honestly had when it comes to skill-wise and when it comes to the camaraderie and the love that we have for each other. There's just a lot of confidence, and we're going to have so much fun out there. There's no, I guess, unnecessary pressure that we have to bring on ourselves. Let's just go play BYU football and show them what we got again.
What does a great year look like for you?
I think if I stay healthy, I think that's a great year. You know, I knock on wood, right? But I just want to, you know, ultimately being able to just go out and play the game that I love and, you know, be around the guys. That's a successful season to me, to be able to win games and then afterwards go and be a light to those around us, you know, and interact with the youth and the kids that come to the games and all the fans. Obviously, that comes with winning a lot of football games, and you get more reach and more, you know, more publicity. So let's go win some games. I think, you know, winning a lot of games would be a successful season, obviously, and being able to, you know, be a light to those around us.
I'll say it for you. 1,000 yards. Let's go.
There you go. That too.
Yeah, be nice. Let's go. just tell Bear, listen, I know your brother's on the team, but just throw it up to me. I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
Last year, you had the longest play from scrimmage for BYU, 62 yards. Can we get a 70-yarder this year?
Yeah, we need a 70, 80, 90-yarder. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, more fun when you, let's yeah.
Go. Let's do it. Your brother Trey is a receiver on the team too. What does he do better than you?
Ooh. He honestly, his hands, I don't know. I don't think he dropped the ball all fall camp. Like, he just has these sticky hands that, you know, he's such a stud when it comes to his hand eye coordination. And I need to learn a couple stuff from him. He has this little step back move that he does when he jukes guys that I could learn from. And he's got that nice yak, the yards after catch. So those are probably a couple things that he's got on me.
You're telling me there's a step back in football?
Yeah, it's a little like yards after you catch it, right? You step back and they fly by, right? Mm. Something a little like that. He has that down, so I need to learn a couple things from him.
Do you have that on the basketball court too?
Yeah, I got a little step back, fadeaway. Yeah. A little different, but I definitely have that on him. Yeah, I'm better at the basketball step back.
Shout out AF. Shout out Trey Stewart, Noah Moyaki.
There you go.
Champs a couple years ago, right?
That's right. That's right.
Pretty awesome.
Teammates.
When did you think it was possible that Bear Bachmeyer could win the job? What did you see and when where you were like, he could do it? He's pretty good.
Yeah, I think probably week two of fall camp. You don't really know. Like, everyone's playing really well. We're kind of just getting into things. And then he made some throws like week one, week two. You're just like, dang, this guy's good. Like, and then to watch him kind of rally with the guys and be able to lead and to get that energy going when he lead drives in fall camp, then, you know, the confidence just keep building that over time. And then ultimately to where he was the guy and everyone was on board.
And last but not least, go ahead and pub the 2-point conversion on BYU Radio. Who's the latest guest? I saw Spence was on it. Spencer Linton?
Spencer Linton was on it. Yes, he was. He was. We need to get you on it, Jerem.
Hey, whenever,
so whenever you're ready. I don't know. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but hopefully. Just kidding.
Hey, I work here. The recommend's current.
That's good. No, yeah, we need to get you on. We're trying to get Sherry Dew on, which would be awesome.
Baller.
So little things, you know, in the making that would be amazing. And there's just been some awesome guests, and we've been able to just chat about Jesus Christ. And such an honor. Keeps you focused, keeps the priorities straight. So you can find it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Music, YouTube, Spotify, all those places. So 2-point conversion. It's been awesome. A blast.
I love it. That's great stuff. Hey, best of luck this week. Can't wait to watch you play Saturday.
Thank you so much, Jerem. You're the man.
Spencer Linton's the man. He was on 2-point conversion. Nice, Spence. Tonight, the season premiere of BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the head coach. More Chase Roberts in studio joins Gregor Bell on his birthday and anniversary, as mentioned. Tonight, in studio C to preview the season opener against Portland State, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Bear Bachmeier is set to make his debut start at quarterback. Maybe you've heard us talk about it. But what are the top five true freshman quarterback debut starts in BYU history? Re-rank them in Top 5 Tuesday. This is BYUSN.
Tyler Magnum?
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It is Top 5 Tuesday, and today we focus in on the top 5 true freshman quarterback debuts in BYU football history.
Whew. There have only been 7, so 2 are off the board already. Number 5, 2010, Jake Heaps taking on Nevada. 1, Colin Kaepernick. Jake went 24-45 for 229 yards. No touchdowns, no picks. BYU lost 27-13. That Nevada team was pretty good.
John Beck made his first start as a true freshman against none other than Stanford back in 2003. 22-45, 279 yards, a touchdown and 2 picks. BYU lost that game 18-14. Hard lesson for John that day.
Number 3, Zach Wilson versus Hawaii, 2018. Wilson went 16-24, 194 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, added a 23-yard rushing touchdown. I think we're seeing number 2 here from Taysom Hill, also against Hawaii.
That's
in
the
2012.
Tricky
part. Yeah. Which Hawaii are we talking about? So Taysom goes 12-21 for 112 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He ran for 143 and a touch. BYU won that game 47-0.
So Wilson scores 49, Taysom Hill scores 47, both against Hawaii, and they are 3-2 in the list.
If only Hawaii. Well, a team in Forest Green is coming in this Saturday for Bear Bachmeier. I would like
Let's
to point
go.
Out.
Yeah. And the number 1 true freshman debut start, Tanner Mangum against Boise State in 2015.
Yeah.
17-28, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but the unforgettable Hail Mary.
We've seen this before!
A week after BYU and Mangum did it against Nebraska, he did it against Boise State.
And he never saw it. His helmet's up on his nose. He's on his back.
You probably forgot. Tanner had a 1-yard rushing touchdown in this game.
Nice.
You don't remember that, nice. But he scored a rushing touchdown.
We're going to have Tanner on the show later in the week.
BYU wins 35-24 over Boise State. Okay, so our full list. We just gave it to you.
Yeah.
Tanner Mangum at the top.
Okay. Could Bear Bachmeier be up to number 2 with anything against Portland State? Because there's no way he passes Tanner Mangum Boise State. He can't do anything.
What if he passes for 500-plus yards against Portland State?
They're not passing for 500 yards. They're rushing for 300 over.
Hey, okay. Yeah. He could probably eclipse Zach Wilson at number 2, but it's Portland State.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to be. He's got to. It's not going to happen.
I hope he's top 3.
Yeah. It'd be nice if he was 4 right here. Just slide in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our question of the day, do you believe BYU's offense will be better than last year? Why or why not? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, comes from at Koopa Scoopa on X, who says, I think LJ Martin could be first team all Big 12 this year behind that offensive line. And Carson Ryan brings a new dynamic to the offense that we were missing last year. Bear doesn't have to be a hero for the offense to improve.
Trevor said yes.
Do things with great regularity, I believe was the phrase. Today's Riser Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Cool stadium improvements, some signage at the stadium. Dave Broberg tweeting this out. Can't wait to see it Saturday.
Let's go. It looks great. Our thanks to today's guests, Barrett Bachmeier and Chase Roberts.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Mike Haig. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.